And welcome everybody to the call. This is Melissa Galt, and we are on five essentials to attracting perfect prospects every time. There have been a lot of questions already fed to me this evening, and I promise to get to those as quickly as possible. But in the meantime, I've got some things I want to share with you. Some of you on the call know me, and some of you don't. So those that know me, please bear with me for just a few moments while I give the Cliff Note version of how I got here and why I'm able to share with you the five essentials to attracting perfect prospects every time. My story in the quick and dirty. I started out in my own business back in 1994. It was a second career path for me. I had been in corporate America for about 8 years working in hospitality purchasing. That meant that I was moving every 8 months, cities, states, and companies, and up the ladder. But as you might well imagine, it was exhausting. It was fairly financially rewarding, but not terribly so. And I didn't enjoy what I was doing. It wasn't creative enough. So I went back to school briefly. I was in school for about 6 months without work, and then the rest of the time I was in school full-time and working full-time. And I jumped into interior design feet first. I left a big box retailer to start out on my own because I'd gone head-to-head with my manager over some vacation pay. She said I didn't have it coming. I said I did. I'd made vacation plans, and being a bit headstrong, I stuck with them. And that meant when I came back, I didn't have a job. More importantly, I didn't have a paycheck. And I was saddled with over $70,000 in credit card debt. I had a hefty car payment, and I was living in a cramped, tiny apartment in Atlanta. So I had to really hustle, and hustle I did. But the biggest lesson I learned was I thought that if I simply hung my shingle out, that my talent would be enough to get prospects in the door. And I think sometimes a lot of us creative types and service-based professionals have that field of dreams, possibilities idea. We think, wow, I'm so good at this. I love doing it. I'm passionate about it. I know people can see that. Surely they'll want to hire me. Well, the tricky part is most of them don't know we exist. So I had to get busy marketing. And it wasn't anything that I was too terribly familiar with, but I learned in a very big hurry. I didn't have my first client for 90 days, which was a very scary time for me. I was working nights and weekends in a catering kitchen, running the kitchen, and running a hot, sweaty dish machine. Not very glamorous or exciting. But it's what I needed to do to get money coming in. I also started teaching evening at Emory and Oglethorpe in decorating to busy professionals and homeowners. That proved to be a phenomenal marketing and prospecting opportunity. Because what I learned really quickly about prospecting was that when you can develop a relationship with your prospect, their interest in you, their excitement in your services, and the likelihood of them purchasing soon or even later rises exponentially. Some of my best clients came through those classes because they realized who I was and what I was like to work with after having me for 6 weeks, 2 hours a week. They got me. And the best part was they also realized they couldn't do design by themselves, at least not well in the way they wanted to. So those of you that have the opportunity and can teach, particularly adult education, I'm not suggesting you go and teach high schoolers. That's not usually going to be your desired prospect base. You may want to seriously consider it. Definitely put it on the list of opportunities for marketing. And that's just one of several. But that's not even one of the five essentials. What happened was, it took me 3 years to become completely debt-free and to be making six figures. But there was a big hitch with that. I was working on average 12 to 15-hour days, sometimes 7 days a week. I was single, still single, but at the time I was single and working crazy hours. And I was starting to get a little bit burnt out. I was also taking clients indiscriminately, which is something that I think we are all afflicted with. We're hungry. We don't want to say no. And on top of that, I have that I want to help you attitude. I genuinely want to make a beautiful difference in someone's life when it comes to design, when it comes to mentoring and coaching. I genuinely come from the heart and want to make a difference in working with someone, to take their business to the next level, to make an incredible turnaround, to add marketing tools they've never seen before. That makes an enormous difference to me. That's where I get my big thrill, and that's my passion. So turning someone down is very hard to do. And I'm betting that a lot of you on this call struggle with the same challenge. But I looked really hard at my clients, and at my peak, I was juggling as many as 45 to 50 projects in different stages at any one time with only an intern or part-timer on board. Now, those of you that are in the design trade on this call, you understand just exactly how crazy that is. But imagine if you were a wellness consultant, or if you were an image specialist, or if you're a coach or consultant on this call doing the same kind of thing, you would be running yourself into the ground. So not very smart, but I took a hard look at my client base. I cleared the debt. That was a big plus. And when I stepped back and looked at it, I realized that 80-20 rule. 80% of my income was coming from 20% of my clients. And I thought, wow, what if I cut the 80% that really aren't producing, focused on the 20%, and found more of those? And that's really and truly what I did. I finally got really clear who I loved to work with, not who showed up, not who needed me the most, but who I enjoyed working with. And I know that if I asked you to take a moment right now and think back to the last 5 years and write down the names of your top five favorite clients or customers, take just a second right now. I bet you they stand out. And here's the next thing I bet you. I bet you they've got some things in common. I want you to hang on to that thought. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. But I wanted to get you through the story of how I got here to share with you the five essentials. And I hope you can imagine what a change that made in my business. Suddenly, I was working on 5 to 10 projects and making more money than I had when I was working 50. But more importantly than more money, I got my life back. I got my time back. And I wasn't worried about who was going to show up anymore because I'd gotten a clear picture. I'd defined that perfect prospect and created the system to attract them on a regular, consistent basis. Now, what tonight's call is going to do for you is give you that system. This is a huge topic. I could comfortably have a 3-hour, even a full day session on this topic. I'm going to give you as much as I possibly can tonight. But the really important part about tonight's call is that following this call, when you implement what I'm going to share with you, when you take back the nuggets and put them into action, you're going to be able to start sleeping through the night comfortably, no longer anxious about work. And I know because I've talked to a lot of you, that you are worried about work. You are worried about business, about it not coming, about it not showing up. When will it happen again? Where are the top clients? Nobody's spending money. I hear it. I do, and I feel for you. And I want to share with you that you can turn this around with what I'm going to share with you tonight. You will be able to wake up refreshed and confident each day instead of not wanting to climb out of bed with that kind of depressed feeling like, oh no, what's today going to hold? I know that feeling well too. Been there. You are also going to be free from worry about not enough new prospects because you will be creating the system to bring them continually into your pipeline. You're going to be attracting them because you're going to know who they are. And more importantly, they're going to know who you are. You are going to get to choose who you work with. This is vitally important. I cannot stress this enough because I know what it's like when you hire against your gut. You ever had that funny pit of your feeling, stomach feeling where you're talking to somebody and you're thinking, this sounds like a great client. This sounds like a perfect customer. They want to spend a lot of money with me, but I'm not feeling good about it. There's something telling me this isn't a good fit. Could be a personality issue, could be the language they're using, could be something as simple as that. But you don't pay attention because you're hungry. Wow, have I been there. I've actually had to fire a couple of clients, and that is an incredibly difficult thing to do because, again, I'm geared, as you are, to help. And I can see they need my help, but working with them is robbing me of my peace of mind. It's robbing me of my sleep. It's not worth the money. And so I had to cut them loose. And I'm talking about people that get abusive. I mean, sometimes what look to be the best clients, especially the really big clients, are the ones that are the most impossible to work with. They pay the slowest. And they can be abusive in their language. I had one that would regularly send me emails with cursing throughout the email. Never did it live on the phone, but he did it in email. And finally, I just reached my limit. And I said, no, I can't work with you anymore. And he tried very hard to get me back on board. And I said, no, I stood my ground. But it was a hard thing to do because I knew what I was walking away from monetarily. But I couldn't trade my peace of mind, and I hope that you feel the same way about your peace of mind. I hope that you realize that no amount of money can ever replace that. And in many cases, the people who are robbing you most of your peace of mind are the ones that are the little guys. They're the tiny, tiny clients that run you ragged, that really aren't worth your time and your expertise and would be better suited to somebody less experienced, somebody who's behind you on that ladder of success. Because you've been in the field for a few years, you've paid some dues, and you deserve to have those prime prospects. This is also going to be an opportunity for you to be working with clients and customers who appreciate you, reward you, and don't leave you worn out. And instead, you're energized by working with them. You're excited about meeting with them. You look forward to it. And I can share this with you because I am in the very unusual and fortunate position because I'm single, because, well, key family members are passed and the rest are at a very big distance. I spend holidays with my clients. My interior design clients have truly become family to me, and they get a little cross with me when I call them clients these days. Of course, I do still have new ones that climb on board from time to time. I'm very selective in who I work with. A majority of my time now, as you may imagine, is invested in mentoring, in leading a mastermind program, in speaking and in writing, and in the coaching overall. But what is important is that you will get to sleep through the night comfortably. You'll wake up refreshed and energized. You'll be free from worry. You get to choose who you work with. And you're going to work with great clients who appreciate you and reward you for that. Now, one of the reasons you're on the call is because you're tired of being a best-kept secret. A That's one of the hardest things about being a service-based professional and a creativepreneur. You are often a best-kept secret, and that's because you're not necessarily comfortable shouting to the world, which is really what it takes these days, who you are, what you bring to the table, and your unique benefits, and asking them to take action on that. Even if you do the first three and you don't do that last one, you're dead in the water. I hate to tell you. You really are. So it's also because you've got that field of dreams kind of movie going on in your head. Build it and they will come. Well, I can tell you, I had the same thing happen and it didn't work out that way. So I learned to market. I got really creative and I've added new tools to my marketing strategies and my marketing techniques literally every year. Now, obviously, social media is huge, and I'm certainly going to be touching a bit on that. I am honored and delighted that you're here on this call. I do hope that you have the opportunity to listen in uninterrupted. I hope that if you have not put a question on the preview page and you are in front of a computer, you will go ahead and do that. I'd be most happy and delighted to see that and to address it. And those of you on this call are designers, coaches, stagers, consultants, wellness experts, and other incredible service providers. The challenge is not enough buyers know your incredibleness, and I'm going to show you how to make that happen. So let's dive into the five essentials to attracting perfect clients. As I said earlier, I'm going to teach you everything I can in the time we have together. I originally scheduled this call for just an hour. I am more than delighted to run it to 90 minutes because I know we have to do some Q&A time. And at the same time, I am going to allow you an opportunity to go further with this and to learn some more tools that will help you, and I'll share that information at the close. Now, step number one, as you might have surmised by now, is defining your perfect prospect. And as easy as that sounds to some of you, I would be very surprised if anyone had truly done that completely. And the reason I say that is because it took me a long time to get really, 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 really clear. It isn't about a female age 35 to 55 who lives in a house 300,000 or has an income of 150,000, and that's it. And that's what I hear a lot of. I want you to get as specific as a 5 to 10 year age range, and I'd really prefer 5 year. I want to know, is it male, is it female, is it a couple? Are they dual income, no kids? Are they single income, no kids? Are they married with children? How old are the children? Where do they live in relationship to where you are in your business? Now, some of you have more restricted locations because you want to work within a certain radius of where you live or where your office is. Others of you do a lot of your work by phone, so you don't have those same restrictions. You need to be aware of this person or couple's income. Unfortunately, we don't get to ask that up front, but you can usually gather it pretty simply and pretty easily, okay? Because you've got to ensure that they're in a position to afford and invest in your services. Very, very important. What I'd really encourage you to do is create 1 to 3 of these profiles, no more than 3 tops. And I would ask you to put a name to each of these profiles. Literally, imagine this person's life. Because in order to capture and attract incredible prospects, you've got to know who they are to the core of their being. You've got to know, what does their average day look like? You've got to know what their life priorities are. You've got to know, are they up at 5:30 in the morning because they're packing kids off to school, or they're up at 5:30 because they're heading to the airport for a business trip. You've got to know, where are they going on their vacations and travels? Do they dine out during the course of the week? Where are they hanging out? Do they do soccer and sports on the weekends? What kind of movies do they like? I am betting that this is information that is not necessarily entirely familiar to you. And that's because no one ever shared with you that it's about diving really deep. Now, I can tell you, for example, that one of the ways I get a lot of this information is not just in conversation, although that's certainly an easy way to do it, but I get it because I start with a questionnaire. When a prospect calls me, and they would find me a number of different ways, and I'm hoping that you've got a number of different ways they can find you. Word of mouth is no longer enough. I wish it were. It would be easy, but it's not. You've got to have a web presence. It doesn't have to be a full site, even if it's just a page. If you are not locatable easily on the internet, you are truly invisible. I have had a website since 1994. I'm on about my fifth or sixth iteration of my design site, probably my third or fourth iteration of my speaker site. I'm not a techie, not in the slightest. I look at my laptop, and believe me, it took me forever to get a laptop. I look at my laptop as an expensive typewriter. I learned typing. That's why I'm a wizard on the keyboard. It isn't anything else, I promise. I have managed to surround myself with tech people who are very well priced, they're very patient with me, and they tolerate my ignorance. I would encourage those of you in the same boat to do the same thing. And those of you with teenagers, they were born knowing this stuff. Take advantage of it. But truly, first step, you've got to be found. So a web presence is important. Being out and active in your community is important. If you never leave the house, the chances of you being found are a bit slimmer. Social media can help you dramatically in that regard. But it does not replace face-to-face and voice-to-voice. And what I will share with you, and it's been very interesting for me on social media, on the networks, on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, when somebody truly is interested in making a connection, they pick up a phone. They say, how can we meet? How can we get face-to-face? It's still done that way. But what social networking and social media has done is allowed our circles to expand exponentially. We are now able to search and find people that we never could have imagined searching and finding even a year ago. So it really has generated a whole new level of business opportunity when you take advantage of it. Now, I know that a number of you are uncomfortable with Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, and others of you are versatile at it. That would be a topic for a whole other phone call, and I've actually done webinars on Twitter, done a webinar on LinkedIn, and another one on Facebook. They are available, and I'd be most happy to share those. You can also find them on my blog, www.todaybydesign. If you aren't blogging, I recommend it. Why? Because prospects can find you there. And more importantly, what a blog, what articles, and what e-zine marketing, that's electronic newsletter, what those three pieces will do for you is reinforce your expertise. It's a way of them checking up on what do you really know, how deeply do you know it, how qualified are you. And the best part is, they don't have to rely just on asking you. That's why a website's such a great tool. I have had my biggest projects come through my website. Sight unseen, these folks checked me out thoroughly at weird hours. I mean, they were on there at like 10, 11 o'clock at night, 3 a.m., times I don't want to be available. But they found me, they liked my work, they were comfortable enough with what I shared that there was no bidding for me. There was no competition. We had one phone call, one meeting, I was hired. That was it. This has happened several times. It's not because I'm any different than anyone else here on the call, except that perhaps I've created the web presence and made that a front and centerpiece with search engine optimization of my business. It makes an enormous difference. A lot of this also has to do with being confident and claiming your expertise and knowing your talent. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, if confidence came in a bottle, I'd buy it. You know, something actually, ironically, I had a student years ago at Emory. I was in my, I guess, early 30s at the time. Ooh, I guess this dates me a little bit, doesn't it? For those of you curious, I'm in my mid-40s. Anyway, she came to me at the close of 6 weeks of class, and she said, you've given me confidence. And I thought, wow, if I could bottle that and sell it. But I realized I didn't give her confidence. I just tripped the switch for the confidence she had inside her the entire time. And if I can do that with some of you here tonight, that would thrill me beyond words. It truly would. Because you are talented. You are the expert. Please step into it. Empower yourself. Because the biggest thing that prospects are afraid of is picking the wrong person. And when you are in any way uncertain, it indicates inadequacy and a lack of expertise to them. You must be in charge of the process from the very beginning to the very close. And none of us like to have ourselves run over by our clients anyway. So that's a very, very important point. I've discussed defining your perfect prospect, because once you know who you're looking for, you can much more readily find them. You know the level of depth you need to get into, and what I do with my mentees is I ask them to please create a most wanted poster, literally a most wanted poster. There is a wonderful format. You can find it online. If you get stuck, you can shoot me an email. I'm happy to send it to you. Find a picture of who your ideal prospect, that perfect prospect, would look like, and then all of the demographic, all of the lifestyle details, all of their priorities, all of the things that are important to them fall underneath that. Give them a name. Could be Susie, could be Bob, could be Josephine, could be Henry, could be Mimi and Jim if it's a couple. If they've got kids, make up names for the kids and give them ages. This makes a big difference about where they are in their lives. Different generations have different buying patterns. Once you know who you want to work with, who your ideal target is, you can investigate more those generational differences. Again, that would be a whole other call, and I haven't got that one scheduled right now. The other part to this, the number two in the five essentials, is the language. The language of attraction is critical. Now, again, there is an ebook. It's free. I would encourage you to go and download it and read it. It's very short, only 30 pages. You can find it at www.changeyourrewards.com. I created it, and it's how to increase your profits by changing your language, your word choices. And it includes word choices as simple as if versus when. The word when is infinitely more definite than if. When you use the word when, you are declaring an action is going to occur. When you use the word if, you are creating uncertainty. My favorite is budget versus invest. I've not used the word budget in decades. I use the word investment. Someone is investing their time, they are investing their money, they are investing their energy. That makes an enormous difference. A budget is a limitation. A budget is an expense, another word I never, ever use. And this can be hard to shift. If you're brave and you're willing to do it, get one of those wide bands that come in all those multi-colors and pick the cause of your choice. It could be breast cancer awareness. It could be Habitat for Humanity. I know they've got them, or any number of other causes has their own wristband. And if you will get into the habit, it won't take you more than a week of snapping that band every time you make the incorrect word choice. I hope you don't wind up, you know, battered at the end of the week, but you would definitely wind up with new vocabulary that could rapidly move your business forward. I've had colleagues as well as mentees come back to me in as little as 90 days and tell me that just making one or two simple shifts, particularly budget and invest, made a dramatic impact on their business, on their clients, and on their prospects. It took it to a whole new level. Your language is incredibly, incredibly important. And I would urge you to become keenly aware of your language. There is a study called Neuro-Linguistic Programming, NLP, that deals strictly with the power of words. And a lot of this also has to do with the self-talk and what we say to ourselves. And when you can turn your self-talk around in addition to the talk that you're sharing with others, your life and your business will expand exponentially. It truly will. Now, I'm going to share the next three essentials, but I've got to share something with you first here. There isn't just one perfect way to do this. And because one of the questions I got tonight was really interesting, it said, what is the one perfect question I can ask to get that perfect prospect? There isn't one perfect question. I wish it were that simple. It's not, because each prospect is a little bit different, and you have to become keenly aware of those differences. It's less about what you ask and more about what you hear. This is all about listening. The initial conversations I have with prospects go something like this. When a prospect calls me, or they email me and they say, found your website, that's typically how they found me, or could be, Joe and Susie raved about you, wanted to find out more. How do you work? That is typically one of the first questions, and it is the last question I answer. The first thing I do is turn it around and say, delighted that you called, delighted that you connected with me. Tell me more about your project. Now, what that's doing, in the case of design, obviously it's a project. In the case of anything else, it could be a project, it could be a need, it could be a what do you want to accomplish, it could be a goal. It doesn't have to be a project is my point. But the key is you get them talking to you. You want to find out from them, because they will tell you, what are they truly looking for? I had this happen just the other day. I got an email saying, I've got a small project, don't know if you do those. I didn't know what small meant. So I called her back and I said, hi, this is Melissa Galt and I'm following up on the email I received. And she said, well, I wasn't sure you took small projects. I said, well, tell me about your project. We had a lovely discussion. Within a space of 10 minutes, she's already ready to work with me. I've never discussed my rate. Because what I got to learn in the course of the conversation was she'd had a bad experience with somebody else. A lot of times that's the case. Sometimes it's not. The key is you do want to find out, have they worked with a similar service provider before? And if so, what was their experience? you need to know going in. Are you doing some cleanup? Are you doing a bit of damage control? That's going to be really important for you to know about. And I found out that I was doing a bit of that, but I also found out exactly what the hot buttons were. She was so open and shared them with me. Sometimes they're not quite that open and you have to fish around a bit, but you can always fish around and find out. You absolutely can. And it is in your best interest and your prospect's best interest to do so. And you do it nicely. You lead them with questions and tell me about the time frame you want to work in. Do you have a deadline? If you were doing coaching, you would say, are you planning on this being a six-month process, or are you planning on investing in this in a couple, 3 years? What kind of return are you expecting on your investment? How speedy? You know, lead times, things like that. It doesn't matter whether you're a service-based in design, whether you're service-based in wellness, whether you're service-based in coaching or consulting. You've got to find out what is important to them, what's pushing their buttons, what got them to call you. Okay? Then, in the case of design, it can be fairly simple. I will share how I work with never mentioning my rate, never mentioning my rate. And I would do the same thing in coaching. I would say, well, here's how I work with coaching or with mentoring. Here's how I work with design. Here's my process. By the way, would you be comfortable with my sending you a questionnaire? It's something that I ask my prospects to fill out first. I do this with my mentees as well as with design clients. This works across the board. If you are in real estate, it would be a great idea to have your clients filling out a questionnaire in advance. Not just all the real estate paperwork. I know they've got to fill that out too. But your own questionnaire. So no matter what business you're in, you want them doing homework for you. Homework bonds them to your process. And what I can safely share with you is once they do homework for you, they won't do it for anybody else. They're vested. They have invested time and energy in this process suddenly that they didn't even anticipate doing. What I also know is that if someone says, no, I will not, I shorten the phone call and politely get off. I don't need to work with people who will not invest their energy in my process because my process is designed to work for them. And the key is to never be so hungry that you will ignore your process. When you create a process, it's for the greater good of both you and the prospect who will become a client. Because once they've done homework, they're excited. You've gotten their interest up. You've gotten their excitement up. You've gotten their hope up. You can solve their challenge. They're already on their way doing homework for you. That's step three in the essential five steps. Homework. Creating that questionnaire. Whether you are in design, in real estate, in coaching, in wellness, in image, it does not matter. What matters is that you create a way to interact with your prospect with a homework level. And remember, when someone says, you know, I just don't have the time to be bothered with that, that's someone who you don't have the time to be bothered with because they're not going to be a good client. I promise. I didn't always have a questionnaire. The other key in this, number four, you want to lead a discussion that leads to an irresistible, assumptive close for your first visit. And by the way, that first visit is always paid. Whether the visit is in real time or whether it is a first actual consult by phone. Now, yes, in the case of coaching, typically you're giving someone a taste with maybe 30 minutes. You don't typically give away a full hour. In the case of design or staging or a similar process, you do not want to give it away at the beginning. You are not any less talented in the beginning. You're not any less smart in the beginning. And if you want to go and play footsie with them and, you know, have a get-to-know-you meeting, that's terrific. My hat is off to you. I don't have the time. I really don't. I would rather make certain that I can create a 30% of that process before I've ever met them. Because if 30% isn't going to feel good, trust me, 100% isn't going to feel any better. And I can get at least 30%, if not more, by phone before I've ever met them. I'm prepared to spend 30 minutes, sometimes 45, on the phone in the comfort of my office, not going anywhere. I'm not giving any ideas, any tangibles. I'm just finding out. I'm on a mission of information. The more information I can elicit from the prospect, the more knowledgeable I will be about whether or not they are a fit for me. Are they a fit for you? You get to determine that. And that's incredibly important. So you want to be able to lead that discussion, because the way my conversations are structured, they say, tell me how you work. You reply with, tell me about your project, or tell me about what you know about coaching. And they discuss that with you. You ask a few other leading questions, finding out what they're prepared to invest in time as well as in dollars. And I use the word invest. Very, very important. Once you have that knowledge, then you can share with them your process. Mine happens to be, well, in the case of design, here's how I work. I know you want to only do one room, but you know what? I have to see the entire home, and I'll provide you with a comprehensive breakdown, room by room, in writing, not a blueprint, that will enable you to have a fully crafted roadmap going forward. When I shared this with that prospect the other day, she was so excited that what fell out of her mouth was, tell me how much I can pay for that. I almost laughed out loud. She was that excited about that. Imagine offering a more comprehensive solution than what the prospect had initially considered, because you know they need the comprehensive solution, but you've heard, you've paid attention, they're only ready for the small piece. Show them the comprehensive, sell them the small piece, and they'll buy the rest later. And that's where you get your lifetime demand. You've created an irresistible opportunity. You've showed them the entire picture. You've agreed to do the small piece and be paid for it, knowing that when you knock that out of the ballpark, they will be in your pipeline for life. They will become a raving fan of your talent and your expertise, and they will recommend you to the ends of the earth, as well as coming back to you time and time again. The key with any prospect is to look very closely at the lifetime value, not the one-time project value. I can safely share with you that I have done very small projects for people that later on they've come back to me, and we've done 6 and even 7-figure opportunities that I never, ever would have imagined otherwise. The same thing happens with mentoring. Somebody wants to start small, and then 3 months later, they said, you know what? I'm ready to go bigger. I'm ready to go deeper. I'm ready to take my business to the next level. And the same thing can happen with you. The key is learn from your prospect, define who they are first, know who you want to work with, listen very carefully, and provide a comprehensive solution while being very careful you're not railroading them in any way, shape, or form. You're not pushing them. You're simply saying, you know what? I hear that you need this. I also am aware that you're going to want that. And they'll say, oh, I do want that. I can't do it all right now. That's okay. Let me show you what that can look like. And then we'll work on this. But we need to have that comprehensive view. Makes all the difference in the world. So the five essentials, you're defining your perfect prospect. Please create 1 to 3 most wanted posters. Make them very targeted and know that you can change them at any time. These are to be posted in your office. Not for your clients to see or your prospects to see, but for you to be reminded of who you most want to work with. Very, very important. The more detail, the better. It makes an enormous difference. The language of attraction. Learn it. Download the free ebook. If you already think you know it, then please practice it. And there are new words coming up all the time. I've been meaning to put out a new edition with 12 more words because you'd be amazed at the opportunities you have. In fact, I got a very interesting little email today from a gentleman who is now embracing his mobile chair rather than feeling confined by it. And I thought that was one of the neatest things I ever could have done for him. Is he felt confined and he read the ebook and he got the word embrace instead. That's the kind of difference it makes. So you're defining, you're learning the language, you're creating a homework opportunity for your prospect. Now, that's going to look different for each of you. Preferably, it's original. Do not be afraid to go long. My questionnaire is a minimum of 7 pages. I have got colleagues who've got 27 pages. And on top of that questionnaire, I will always ask them for a wish file, wish book, wish board sometimes. I prefer a file or a book because it's something I can take with me. I don't normally need to take it with me, but you know what? They offer it to me. Do you have any idea how bonding that is? When you go and meet, if you are meeting clients in person, depending on your business, but when you go and meet for the first time and they say, here's my wish book, you want to claim that. That's homework they did for you. Even if you don't need it, don't let them know that. You want to let them think that that was the most valuable piece of information they could have created for you. Very, very important. And the best part about that also is, regardless of whether this is design, real estate, easy, ask them for the wish book. Get them to clip out properties that they like the look of. Get them to clip out pictures from magazines or from real estate books of what they've seen that, you know, rings their chimes. Wellness, same thing, images of the healthy body they're looking for. Coaching, what do they want their life to look like? We all know the movie The Secret, Jack Canfield, and vision boards. Very, very important. Push that button. Getting them to vision their dream. Instead of keeping them in their need, bring them into their want. If you're going to create the homework, you're going to lead a discussion that leads to an irresistible, assumptive close for your first visit. They are already scheduled before my rate ever comes up on the design side. Now, on the mentoring side, they are essentially, we're already scheduled, before rate is confirmed. Because rate is the least of it. Unless, and I know none of you are, but unless you are in the Walmart of your field, you're not being hired or not hired based on rate. That is not what it's about, despite appearances. I know some of you want to argue that one with me. It truly isn't. It's about personality, presentation, and depending on the field, portfolio. But portfolio means experience as much as it does beautiful interior images. So if you're a wellness professional or a coach, it means your experience. What social media will do for you in all of this, it's a way to be visible. It's a way to boost your credibility. And when you have visibility and credibility, you are a half a step away from profitability. Now, this isn't going to happen by accident in social media. Just putting yourself on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn and sitting there and waiting for people to find you isn't going to do it. You're going to need to learn the tools to search, find, follow, friend, and connect. Those are going to be very important tools. The other tools I mentioned earlier, blog, e-zine, and article marketing. Three incredible, simple ways to get your expertise out there front and center on a frequent basis. An e-zine, once to twice a month. You don't have to do it every week. If you can, that's terrific. Your audience may or may not want that every week. Again, electronic newsletter. Blog, once or twice a week. Article marketing, if you did one a week, it would make a difference. And those tools are vitally important. The beautiful part about those three tools, they can be wrapped into a simple, single, comprehensive marketing plan because you can use the content with one for the two others. That is not what I get to dive into tonight, but it is what I'll get to dive into in what I promised you earlier. I promised you earlier that I would be able to take prospecting to the next step. You do need to find them. You do need to attract them. You also have to keep them interested, excited, and ready to buy. Because here's the tricky part. You don't just want clients for the moment, prospects for the moment. You need them for tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. Wouldn't it be simpler to get them now and keep them interested, excited, and ready? It is, by far and away. And social media has made that easy. So I have created a back-to-school, actually it's back-to-success now because the kids are back in school, plan for you. You've got some action to take following this call. The first is define your perfect client, create your most wanted poster. Second, you're going to download and read changeyourrewards.com. You're going to create homework. You're going to practice the art of the assumptive close. And you're going to take your prospect from want to need and go beyond their immediate boundaries. That's all going to happen in the next 2 weeks. Because I know you're ready to take rapid action. What's going to happen after that is the Back to Success Now. I am doing a 3-call plus a bonus call August 25th to the 27th, and the first 20 who sign up will get the bonus call. We are going to go through blogging, e-zine marketing, and article marketing. This is not going to be a tech call at all. This is going to be easy, simple, fun, and fast. And I am guaranteeing that you will be able to get up online with all three of these methods very simply and very easily. The investment is your time. Each call is going to be 90 minutes, and I will gladly add 30 minutes of Q&A to that. That's over the course of 3 days. You will get all of the recordings. If you want the transcripts, they will be available at an additional investment. Now, I wanted to make this something that was really accessible for everyone. And I know that a lot of folks are crunched right now. We've got the kids are back in school. We're looking at fourth quarter. And I don't know about you all, but I've been known to make my whole year in my fourth quarter at times. So for the three calls, it's only $147. And I'm only doing a one-pay option. I didn't see a reason to do anything beyond that because I'm holding it over 3 days, and it is coming up in just 2 weeks because I want to urge and encourage you to move forward rapidly. I don't want you losing momentum. Momentum is hard enough to come by, especially right now when we're stretched kind of thin in places. I want this to be the tools that moves you forward. Now, if you want to get the scoop in more detail, please go to backtosuccessnow.com, www.backtosuccessnow.com, and you can check the details. I didn't make it long. I didn't make it arduous. It's short and quick because I want to give you tools, resources, tips, and shortcuts that you can act on immediately and move forward with dramatic results. That's what this is all about. Prospecting is critically important to every business. And it can be easy and fun once you implement the right tools. I'm hoping that it is easy and fun for some of you. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a quick look at the Q&A, see what kind of questions we've got. Now, yeah, I'm getting some list questions here, and that's a great question to ask is, does it make sense to invest in lists? Well, the first thing you got to know about lists is you've got to check your source. They've got to be very, very reputable and very, very clean. And even still, often you're only allowed to rent them and do mailings that way as opposed to buying them, which is often tens of thousands of dollars. There is a group called Concept Marketing. I know them because they've got me on their email list. And I would encourage any of you to check out conceptmarketing.com. If for any reason you don't come up with the right source, please feel free to get in touch with me via email. It's just melissa@melissagault.com so I can get you the correct reference on that. I have used their lists in the past, and they had good lists for what I was using them for. Please know that direct response marketing, which is typically what you're doing with a list, whether it's an oversized postcard, goodness forbid you're mailing a brochure, please don't do that, requires 7 hits. That's the standard in the industry historically. You've got to tap a prospect 7 times before they may buy from you. Now, I'm not suggesting, because I know a couple folks on this call have proved me wrong, and I think that's awesome, and I've proved it wrong a couple times too, where out of a large mailing I got 1 or 2 respondents, but it's a very low, low, low percentage. I mean, like 2%, 1%, 3%. So you've got to have a really, really big list, and you've got to tap them multiple times to make this all work. I'm not suggesting don't do it. I'm suggesting when you do it, know going in that you're going to need to tap them at least 4 times, if not your full 7. You need to do this in a consecutive manner, and it's very well recommended to create your entire campaign at once. Each campaign must be time sensitive. You must have a deadline on it to give incentive. And there must be some sort of incentive beyond the time deadline to act now. Whether you want to provide a discount, which I do not encourage because it devalues your services, you can provide a stimulus rate, you can provide a special add-on value, something of that nature. It certainly is still used, but not as much. The big advantage, because our email boxes are becoming incredibly crowded, guess what's not? Our U.S. Postal Service boxes. So you can stand out from the pack when you do this, and if you do it well and do it right, make sure it is very visually appealing. Make sure that you do not clutter it with too much copy, and make sure that you use imagery. Even if you're not in the design field, you need to use imagery. Real estate, it's easy. Design is easy. But wellness, think wellness images. Image consultants, obviously, consultant or images of people well-dressed for what they're doing. Coaches, people living their dream life, images of that nature. Okay? Got a question from a new designer. How do you get projects on your own with not having much experience? I appreciate that a whole lot. I started out the same way. But I can tell you, you just have to dive in. You have to decide the kind of work you want to go after and where those people are going to congregate. Create that most wanted poster and be a little bit flexible on it. Be sure and explore opportunities to do charity work because it's a great way to get your name out there. And when you are starting out in the field, you're normally willing to pay some of those dues. How do you get started on the blogging and the e-zine? I would be delighted to serve you with those answers. That is going to be in the Back to Success Now calls coming up. I do not have the opportunity this evening to go through those, but I will go into all the gory details then and promise to get you up. No idea what to write about can completely help you with that. It's not as scary as it sounds, and there's incredible resources right at your fingertips for this. I promise, really easy. What blog sites are the best? It depends on what field you're in. I don't see what field this person's in. If you want to shoot me that one privately and let me know, best thing you can do is go to Google, put in a search with your industry and the word blogs. And I did this just the other day for design because I was doing a presentation to a group of design professionals in Atlanta. And I came up with the top 10 interior design blogs along with a whole lot of others that were just fantastic. So any of you that want to check that out, and I would encourage you to go do so, just put in your industry and the word blogs in the search and look at what will pop up. This is kind of interesting. I've got somebody from the Midwest is saying that their impression of designers in the Southeast and West Coast are busier than you are in the Midwest. Not necessarily at all. It varies designer to designer, literally. I've got plenty of designers who are struggling in Atlanta, plenty of them struggling up north, and certainly plenty of them struggling out west. It depends on their clientele, how well they've built their business over the years. Have they created that full pipeline, and have they stayed in touch with their clients? I find so many creativepreneurs neglect to do this. Your database is your gold. Please don't neglect it. Please stay in touch. They want to hear from you. They truly do. Whenever I would go on big trips, and it's been a while since I had a big trip, but I've had the great fortune of taking myself on some rather wonderful adventures, Africa and Australia and India, and that's just because that's what I like to do. But I would literally, in the first 2 days of any trip, I would go and buy probably 30 postcards, maybe 40, and I would, like a mad creature, send little notes to everybody. I did take labels, pre-printed labels with me. But I would come back, and when I would be doing my rounds of checking up on my projects and my clients, they'd have my postcards on the refrigerator, and they would say how much it meant to hear from me while I was gone. So something as minor as that, you know, sending newspaper clippings, nobody does that anymore. Everybody sends it via email. Do something old-fashioned. Old-fashioned works. It really does. We are in the age of high-tech, high-distrust. Service providers are in the business of high touch. Extend your heart, extend your reach, touch your database. Really, really important. The other part of this is we all have to be very careful. We have to monitor what we're listening to and what we're feeding ourselves right now in particular. If we each watch the news every day, none of us would probably be able to get up in the morning any longer. I am very selective in what I listen to because I am about designing my life, prospering by design, and designing the businesses of colleagues and mentees and small business owners. And I feel very confident that that's entirely doable right now. In fact, some of you may have heard the statistic that during the Great Depression, more millionaires were created than at any other time in history. We are not in the Great Depression, but it's still an amazing time for opportunity. Okay, attracting ideal client base, we should know what our unique selling proposition is. It's selling proposition, not position, although that's probably actually a very entertaining idea. You know, to define your USP, that's something only you can do with some leading questions, often from someone outside of you. I work with individuals and small businesses frequently to define their unique selling proposition. I have morphed and changed mine over the years. So again, you have to kind of look at what do you uniquely bring to the table in your business? Is it a particular method you have of working? I know that there was a real estate agent I spoke with at one point who said that for every client, she created a notebook. And in that notebook, she would have the house plat, the services in the surrounding area, service professionals in the area that would be possible, people they would want to use, whether it's a pharmacy or doctors, the local schools, restaurants even. And she created this for each client. I thought that was just phenomenal. So her USP might have been something like, I create the opportunity for you to learn about your community. I'm the community expert real estate agent. Okay, I need a little more work with the words on that. You need to give me about 30 minutes on it. But it's something of that nature. What I share with design clients right now is many of them don't have a deadline, but they still want it fast. And I share with them that I'm the 90-day designer. I turn projects in under 90 days, typically under 45 days. That's very unusual. And I really love doing that. It's not something that I have to do. It's something that I genuinely enjoy doing. I like to get in, get out. That's just me. Again, it could be something in your background. It could be a methodology or a technique. You definitely, it doesn't get to be, well, we have great service. Because you know what? Everybody says that. It can't be, we've got the best product. Everybody says that. It's got to be more unique than that. Best way to start up a staging business in the current business climate depends on where you live. Get online. Get online. Anybody within the sound of my voice who is not online, who is not on Twitter, who is not on Facebook, who is not on LinkedIn, who does not have a web presence, if you don't have a web presence, please go get a blog. You can create that overnight. I promise. I've had two of mine done in about 2 hours. Really and truly, it's that simple. And it doesn't have to be fancy, but my blog posts, whenever I make a blog post, I get a Google alert on my name within 5 minutes. That means that the search engines have found my most current content and are sending me a note saying, hey, we found this reference from Melissa Galt. It's not about people searching for me. It's about the search engines found me, and that to me is even more important. Okay. Prospects are out there. Best place to start looking for them, online. I'm going to say it again. Online is the answer. It's so much simpler. From your armchair and the comfort of your laptop, you can go online and do searches within the social networks specific to industry, specific to interest levels, specific to demographics, and find where these people are congregating and start to put feelers out. And then from there, you'll be able to define, and each day you want to make a short list, 2 or 3 people you want to pick up the phone and contact, 10 people you want to email, or 20 if you're feeling ambitious. You want to email them directly, not strictly through social media, but you want to have gone through their website, because this means they've probably got a website, and said, you know, I checked out your website, and I noticed that we both have this in common. And I would love to talk to you further. Would you mind sharing 30 minutes on the phone with me or 10 minutes on the phone with me? Reach out. It isn't going to happen any other way. And online is the fastest and simplest way to do it. It truly, truly is. Now, I have to confess, I'm a little stuck. I've got an abbreviation here I'm not familiar with, MKLN product. I'm wondering if that's MLM product, multi-level marketing or network marketing. If it is, I'm going to take a shot that it is, and the question is, how would you market an MKLN product, which I'm going to take as MLM product. You need to become a product of the product, or you need to become a product of the service. I had a very interesting discussion with a gentleman who runs a very large and very successful company yesterday about this very thing, and shared with him that his best marketing route would be to get people using his service, becoming raving fans, and incidentally going out in the marketplace and sharing how much they love the service. Not forcing it, not going out there and pitching it, but literally because they were using it on an everyday or every other day basis, they loved it so much they couldn't help but share it. And that's what you want to create with your clients, is raving fans. People whose lives you've touched in such a profound, amazing, giving, passionate way that they can't help but talk about you. If you have the opportunity, real estate's easy to do this, design's easy to do this, offer to throw a room warming, a house warming, an event warming, whatever it is, for your client. Doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. A couple hundred dollars out of your pocket, you put that into your marketing budget. You can have budgets for marketing, although I still prefer investments. Sorry, I need to snap my own rubber band. But truly, offer that as an opportunity. People are scared to entertain. They don't understand how to do it. And you want to make it easy, because you know what? When you offer that, you just say, by the way, love to have you invite some of your neighbors, maybe some of your colleagues from the office. Let me know how many people you'd like to have. I'd be delighted to do this for you for as many as 30 people, or if you're more comfortable doing 10, or if you want to do 300. The point is, it's your way of marketing. You get to be at the event, you get to be meeting and greeting, and you get to be showcasing what you created. Whether you're in design, whether you're in real estate, you put them in the new house. It still counts. In the case of wellness, do an event once they've created the image that they want, once they've got the body they've been after, and have a fitness event at their house or something. There's so many easy ways to do this that nobody ever considers. How do you get them to buy art right away? Well, I think part of the challenge with that question is the word right away. You've got to build a relationship. I know that one of the most important things that both gallery owners and artists overlook is forming a bond with the collector at the front end, before they've even become their collector. You've got to tell the story behind the art. You've got to showcase the artist, the personality that crafted it. It isn't just something decorative. It's got to be a story. People don't buy things. They buy stories. They don't buy service. They buy experience. Your brand is not your logo. Your brand is the experience that you offer. And that's so vitally important to remember, because so many people get caught up in their logos and in the colors they have and in what their website looks like, and they forget all about the experience they're delivering. Please don't forget that. This is first and foremost about the experience. Again, the questions are all leaning the same direction. If you don't have a website, and there is one person who showed that, please get one. Get a blog site. It's as little as $70, because you can buy a template for $70. If you don't want to invest in a template, it's probably about $5 a month to have it hosted. You really do need to climb aboard the social networks, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. It's hard for me to tell you which one, because I don't know your business. And personally, I'm a fan of layering your marketing. I believe very strongly that I get very different responses from Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I was listening to a call earlier today where the gentleman was sharing that he gets $1 per month from each Twitter follower he has, and he gets $4 a month from each Facebook follower. Now, I don't mean that just because they're followers and they pay him $4, but that's what they're worth to him. But because he has over 100,000 Twitter followers, and he's well over the 5,000 mark on Facebook, that's a lot of dollars. That's what those followers are worth to him, because he's developed the relationship. He's created value. He's established his expertise with confidence and talent. And subsequently, when he offers products and programs, people buy. What is the best elevator speech? There is no best elevator speech, and that is unique and different for each and every person in business. There is no one elevator speech. Absolutely not. In fact, you usually want to keep three or so in your back pocket, because for each prospect type that you have, you need to have a slightly different presentation. What you don't want to do is make it something as dull and boring as when someone says, "What do you do?" "I'm a designer. I sell real estate. I sell insurance. I'm a coach." It's a deal breaker. There's nowhere for the conversation to go. You want to create an open-ended dialogue. So, for example, in the case of design, you might say, "I make people's lives more beautiful." What can they say, but how do you do that? And then you don't answer with, "I'm a designer." You go into it a bit. You say, "Well, let me tell you a story." And you share a happy client story. Same thing for real estate. Same thing for coaching. "I show people how to make their dreams come true." Well, how do you do that? It leads to a fascination and an intrigue that you never imagined. Great question. How do you get started when entering a new field where you have no prior experience, testimonials, or track record? You picked a really interesting time to do this. I think it's fantastic. I congratulate you on this decision. And prior experience, you need to go get some experience in quickly. You want to get on the social networks. You want to find the other people who are already in your field and look at what they're doing, look at their expertise, and look at how they're generating their credibility. Learn from the masters. They're easier to find than ever before. That is the greatest thing about social media. The masters are at a touch of a button. Best method for qualifying clients early in the process? I think we've well covered that one. With the phone call, with defining who your ideal prospect is, with creating homework, you should be able to know in the first 15 to 20 minutes whether you want to spend any more time on the phone with that prospect. And if you don't, you could say something as simple as, "You know what? I have got a full client load right now, and I'm just not going to be able to fit you in. May I refer you?" And this is the tricky part. You've got to have referral partners. Because it's so hard as service professionals to be able to say no to someone. Even someone we really don't feel like we want to work with them, it's still hard. So please create a referral network. How to schedule a phone consultation before you even see the client. I think we've well covered that one too. And clients who want to do some of the work themselves to save money. It is up to you to show them your value. It's not up to them to see it. You've got to show it to them. You've got to describe it to them. You've got to illustrate it to them with stories of clients who saved time, who've been able to spend a Saturday with their kids instead of out shopping for design products, who didn't make expensive mistakes because they didn't do it themselves. Learn to push those buttons. Create those stories. I know you've probably got them in your back pocket because you've probably had that happen. But that's the best way to do it. I really hope this has been of great, great value. Again, those of you that want to take it a step further, there is a terrific opportunity with the Back to Success Now. Three calls and a bonus call for the first 20 who sign up. It is coming up in just 2 weeks, and I did that very deliberately because I really want to keep the momentum going. And I know that following that is the big Labor Day weekend. So I wanted to get it in before that weekend, and then we've got a bonus call, and the bonus call is going to be nothing but time-saving shortcuts to following and friending and connecting on the social networks. I will open up my toolbox and give them each to you. We can even do it in webinar format where you will be able to see clearly the interfaces of each tool. And I found out when I did a presentation yesterday just how valuable this was, because I had a handful of folks in that audience that were not interested in Twitter, hated it, went in with the preconceived notion. And by the time I finished, because I was physically showing them the interfaces and how easy they were blown out of the water, and they were so excited, and I was thrilled that they were going to go back and give it another try. So knowing the tools and the time saver tools makes an enormous difference. I do not spend more than 5 to 7 hours a week typically on social media, particularly the networks. It's not 5 to 7 hours a day. It's 5 to 7 hours a week. Occasionally I'll spend a little bit more because I'll be exploring something new or I'll be working on a special project. Going into prospecting, you absolutely want to spend a bit more time than that. And that's what I would encourage you to do in the next 2 weeks, is spend some time, polish up those prospecting skills, and then consider. Or if you're ready, I'd love to have you enrolled now. www.backtosuccessnow.com. So you can pick up the skill of blogging, easy marketing, and article marketing. And easy marketing, I will show you the surefire formula of how you can monetize. No, you can't monetize in your first issue, likely. We have to build up a following for you. But it's a great way to get back in touch with your dormant database, to wake up the gold nuggets that you've got there already. All right, with that, I'm going to wrap up this call. We are right at just shy of 90 minutes. It has been a pleasure and a delight. I hope you will feel comfortable getting in touch with me via email. Those of you that want to, please pick up a phone. Better yet, tag me on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook. If I don't respond, it means I didn't see it. And sometimes, because I do have kind of large followings, things get a little bit buried. I apologize. I'm super responsive. You don't hear from me in 24 hours, please assume technology ate it and try me again. I want to be here to serve and support your success. And for me, I thought the best way to create that for you is backtosuccessnow.com. Check it out. I look forward to having you on those calls. And remember, the first 20 people to sign up get the bonus call with my toolbox of shortcuts and tips to social networking success. That means finding followers faster, doing the actual following faster, scheduling your tweets out in advance so you don't have to be on all day long, amazing bits and pieces I can share, and interfaces that are fun and easy instead of you being tortured every time you go out there and try to tweet, or every time you get on Facebook somebody pops up with something inappropriate and you want to know how to hide them. I know how to do that too. And they'll never know, I promise. So best wishes for an incredible evening, the rest of your evening. Happy prospecting. And again, shoot me feedback, questions, comments, melissa@melissagault.com. I'm here as a resource, and I look totally forward to backtosuccessnow.com. Got the kids back in school now, so let's get you back in the success seat and have it. Night.